okay, I didn't honestly plan it this way, that on Valentine's Day, my sermon title would be Suffer Willingly. Although, I should have maybe brought the card I gave to Elizabeth this morning, but it had something to do with that, you know, this one outstanding trait that she has that I just wanted to, you know, commend her on, and she opened the card and it was putting up with me. So, and that pretty much sums it up, so. Anyway. No, and actually, it was kind of a God thing that I just didn't have it even on my radar. Ash Wednesday, Lent starting, all this, and there's just so many things swimming around and going around, and anyway, and but I had chosen this as part of this Faith Overhaul series to have a message about our being willing to suffer for the gospel. And yet that really is what Lent is all about. You know, Lent, it is about, you know, oftentimes fasting or giving up things. But you know what? It's not just about, okay, I'm going to give up meat on Fridays, or I'm going to try and cut back on coffee. Oh, poor Starbucks, you know, your business going down. Or I'm going to give up, you know, chocolate. Obviously, not very many people here in our congregation have given up chocolate, at least by the attendance we had at Chocolate Fantasies last week. Yeah, you know, that is not what the significance of Lent is all about. Our willingness to suffer for Christ has everything to do with, first, just at the bedrock, our love for him. You know, and love is that way. You know, moms, you'll get this, all right, moms. If you did not have love in your hearts, would you put up with all the things that you would have to put up with from infancy on in raising up the children? I mean, the dirty diapers, projectile vomit. I mean, you know, all these things and the attitudes. You know, love is what is underneath a wonderful mom who just gives of herself willingly, sacrificially. I mean, that mom, without question and without thought, would stand in harm's way and willingly suffer for her child. No questions asked. You know. Guys, I'm not leaving you out. I mean, in fact, we've got a few veterans here. You know, one of the most noble things, really, is a soldier who is willing to lay down his life for his country, for his family, really, at the end of the day. There's something so honoring and honorable about that kind of a sacrifice. And few soldiers will go out there and enter into the danger zone without that willingness to sacrifice at all. In fact, I was thinking about it, and I couldn't pull together a little drama or skit last minute, but what would it look like, you know, some soldier who all of a sudden is given his orders and told that he's going to be going into battle and freaking out, what? This isn't what I signed up for, man. I just thought the uniform was cool and might get me some more dates. You know, the recruiter talked about helping pay my college. I didn't think I'd actually have to go into battle. I don't want to go. Really? And as just stupid as that sounds, you know, there's a little bit of overlap and link with some of us with our Christian faith. Ouch. I mean, to suffer for Jesus? I don't know, you know? I mean, to step out of my comfort zones? Oh, share my faith? No, I mean, you know, somebody might laugh at me or mock me or, you know. You get my gist? What did we really sign up for, quote unquote, when we became a Christian? Well, you know, you're just talking about, you know, it's kind of like spiritual fire insurance. I mean, yeah, say the personal prayer and I get to go to heaven. I didn't think it was any more than that. All right. No, it really is about giving my life to Jesus. Blank check. And honestly, when you read through the Bible, it really does mean that at the end of the day, yeah, got to get out of our comfort zones. I mean, it really is going to be, at times, suffering. Ah, come on, really? Sermon on the Mount. I mean, right there in the Beatitudes. Do you know what the Beatitudes mean? Well, that's one of those churchy things, Beatitudes. What's that about, you know? Blessed are they, blessed are they. Beatitudes means exceedingly blessed. That's cool. Who here doesn't want to be exceedingly blessed? Yeah, bring it on. What's this excessive blessing about? Yeah, blessed are the poor. Huh? Yeah, yeah. And blessed are those who mourn. What? Yeah. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's exceedingly blessed, huh? Yeah. Verses 11 and 12. And blessed are you, exceedingly blessed, when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. Are you serious, Jesus? What? I'm supposed to rejoice and be glad about being persecuted? Yeah, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You see, it's just like that sermon text that Marilyn read. Did you hear that, verse 18? So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And those unseen things, it's speaking about that glory that we're going to have, this amazing, massive glory with Jesus in heaven. And Paul says in verse 17 there, and that glory so far outweighs our current sufferings. But I mean, what was the experience of Paul when it came to suffering and persecution? Right there in the sermon text, he talked about it. Hard pressed on every side. Persecuted. Struck down. Carrying around in our body the death of Jesus, always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. That's Apostle Paul. I mean, okay, but you know, I'm just a regular Joe. Come on. I mean, really? Suffering? Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's get into this, all right? This willingness to suffer. Okay. Why? First of all, it is that being willing and ready to lay down our lives for Him. Like I said in that example, moms, you get this. What good mother would not be willing to suffer for their child? It's completely disjointed, the thought. What good soldier would not go into battle understanding the risk and willing to lay down his life? We get it on those angles, right? All right, and it really is love. The mom loves her child. The soldier loves his country and loves his fellow soldiers. I mean, what soldier would leave a fellow soldier behind? No, you at that moment, you risk everything, right? That's the creed. I was just reading a book. Anyway, you'll love the title. Jesus was an airborne ranger. Hey, that's the ranger creed. You do not leave a fellow soldier behind. And that's love. And what did Jesus say? There is no greater love except that one would lay down his or her life for a friend, right? Okay. So here's a question. How much do you love Jesus? At the core and at the bottom of this, that's what it's about. And really, do you love Jesus that much that you would be willing to bear disgrace, to bear up the shame of the gospel? What do you mean the shame of the gospel? Yeah. I mean, we've come to see the gospel as glorious, incredible, that God would take human form and sacrifice himself so that we could be forgiven our sins, but he died on a cross so that we could have salvation. That's the gospel message. That's incredible. And yet so many people scorn it, and they would scorn us. And they will when we present it. Am I willing to risk it for Jesus and to suffer for him? How much do I love him? And then we would set our faces like flint. Basically, it's that determination comes out of, you know, a verse where Isaiah speaks directly like that, in a flint stone. It's just the toughest stone there is, you know. That's you sharpen your sword, right, with flint. It's so tough. Yeah. Now, my determination is ironclad. It's just not movable. I'm ready. I'm ready to suffer, a willingness to suffer. Point three in the sermon notes, delight in trials. Now, that sounds, what, masochistic? I'm supposed to delight in trials and suffering? Yeah. Check this out. Why? Because I begin to understand that through suffering for Jesus' name, my faith grows like crazy. All right? And so through the trials, through the tribulations, as I go through experiences, I'm stepping out of my comfort zones and going through experiences where my faith is being tested, and yet miraculously what's happening inside of me and through the Holy Spirit is my faith is just getting beefed up, and it's growing stronger and stronger and more real and more precious. And so what's going on? I mean, on the outside, you know, and Paul had this experience. He's just like, I mean, wasting away on the outside. And when he's talking about that, he's talking about, let me show you the scars, would Paul would say. You know, when I was beaten with rods, when I was given the 39 lashes, you know, maybe the scars on his wrist from the shackles, wasting away on the outside, but he said, being renewed day after day on the inside. In fact, what was happening on the inside was just this phenomenal increase, this growth, you know, in organic terms, you know, what's required for growth, good soil, sunlight, water, things like this. When it comes to our faith, what's required for growth? Persecution and hardship, and bearing disgrace for Jesus' name. So in the book of Philemon, he says, and I pray you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Do you want to have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Jesus Christ? Full understanding, fullness, faith growing, yeah? Share your faith. Yeah. By sharing our faith, it is the willingness to step out of our comfort zone and even bear the disgrace of the gospel. So, and then, why should we delight in these trials? Because we delight in the glory that will be ours. And I already mentioned that, those last two verses in the sermon text, 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. And he's talking about the glory that will be ours. So it really is, as John Piper would put it, the delayed gratification. He says that we as Christians, it's this modified hedonism. You know what a hedonist is? It's somebody who's all about pleasure. He says, yeah, for us as Christians, it's all about pleasure. Delayed gratification, the pleasure, the intense, amazing pleasure that we're going to get being in God's presence and in the glory and having heaven for eternity. Weigh that on the balance. Okay, a little bit of suffering here, an eternity with God's glory. Yeah. Weigh it in the balance. That's what it's about. So we delight in the glory that's going to be ours. And then this willingness to bear disgrace. I love Hebrews 13, 12 and 13. And so Jesus suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace that he bore. Okay, so we got Jesus' example. And so Jesus suffered. What are we talking about? Yeah, the cross. I mean, ultimately, in fact, he was truly, as Isaiah prophesied, a man of suffering. Don't think it was just the cross. Oh, man, that guy suffered, you know, through so much of his life, and especially the ministry years. And so Jesus suffered outside the city gate. Do you realize he was crucified outside the city because they considered him reprobate? Nothing profane could be inside of Jerusalem. They considered him profane. This is the disgrace that he bore. He suffered outside of the city. What was his purpose? To make the people holy through his own blood, to sanctify us, to purify us of all our sins so that heaven can be ours. That was his purpose. That was his example. And then verse 13, it says, let us then go to him. Interesting too. You want to see Jesus? Go to him. Where is he? Outside the camp. Outside your comfort zones. What do you mean by outside our comfort zones? Sharing the gospel with people first and foremost. But yeah, I mean, where are we going to find Jesus? Matthew 25 gives us a clue. Remember that? Hey, when I was in prison and you visited me, when I was naked and needing clothing and you clothed me, when I was in the hospital and you visited me, when I was in disguise as a widow, as an orphan, and you took care of me. Well, Jesus, this is great news and everything, but when did I see you in prison and visited you? When did I see you sick and in a hospital and I visited you? When did I see you hungry and needing food and I gave you food? And went down the list. When you did it for the least of these, you did it unto me. You want to go to Jesus? You want to get more encounters with Jesus? Go looking for him at the prison. Go look at him. Go looking for him in the nursing home, in the hospital. Go looking for him in the streets where the troubled youth are. That'd be kind of scary. Yeah. Yeah. So let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace that he bore. That's our call, this willingness to suffer. Got a couple examples and just wanted to point them out, and some just to inspire, but yeah, Josh, go ahead and throw some slides on there. But, you know, some of my heroes who I consider are outside of the camp bearing the disgrace that Jesus bore. So Elizabeth and I have some heroes, Seth and Andrea Sears. And they run a wonderful ministry in La Carpio in San Jose de Costa Rica. And anyway, we got to know them quite well, and I've just been so admiring of their ministry. And so in La Carpio, this literally is, and he'll put some of the images up there, but this literally is the armpit neighborhood of San Jose. I mean, this is the hovel. This is... And I can't remember, Juanita, what's the word in English for invasores? The people that invade an area, it's like, and they just, they don't even own the property. They just come in and set up these hovels, huh? Squatters. So it's just a whole massive community of squatters, tens of thousands of them. Poverty is horrific. Violence and gang activity and drug abuse and teenage pregnancy, and oh my goodness, I mean, just all the most worst of societal ills just concentrated there. That's where Seth and Andrea are with their ministry. And I mean, just, yeah, you can just see this is what it's like, you know. But I love their program. First, they're focused on trying to prevent violence because there's so much of it. And so they focus on the family, and they focus especially on the young women and men. And so especially the women, teenage moms, you know, trying to help them, teach them how to raise these children, how to love on them, and the young dads too. So violence prevention, education, so scholarships. Go ahead and some other slides. And that's a worship service. And you can just see, I mean, the setting it is. Next slide too. one of the boys has a backpack, and so it's trying to, they do child sponsorship. About 95 kids they sponsor from the neighborhood, trying to keep them in school and trying to give them that leg up, and also after school programs and stuff like that. Next slide. And then also education and vocational kinds of opportunities, and so trying to train people up, adults, young adults, vocationally, so that they can get a job, a legitimate job, so they don't have to sell drugs, they don't have to run with the gangs. So here's some of their students that have graduated. And that's Seth in the middle, and Andrea off to the left. Wonderful people. By the way, I'm going to try and see if I can maybe put together a trip to Costa Rica sometime this summer. I would love to go have us, a small group of us, go visit the Sears and join in on their project. Want to go out of your comfort zone? All right, so you can join us there. But hey, we don't have to go to Costa Rica. Honestly, 1 mile from us is Youth Hope. Many of you know it as Christian Friendliness. We got, I know a number of people here who give a lot to Christian Friendliness. And we give financially to them as a church, but a lot of people are donating their time. But it's this youth outreach center. And if you don't know what this is about, I mean, literally, it's just on the corner of 12th Avenue and 41st Street. That's their Moline campus. They got a Rock Island campus, too. And they are ministering to hundreds of at-risk youth in our, right here in Moline and in the Rock Island area, and doing just phenomenal work. Next slides, just anyway. So just run a few of the slides. That's just a little blurb about Youth Hope. I really can't think of a better way of stepping out of our comfort zones, getting our hands dirty, maybe if it came to it, bearing a little disgrace for the gospel, but going to where Jesus is. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace that he bore. These are just some real life examples, people that are doing it. And I just want to call you and challenge you to it. So in conclusion, is it worth it to follow Jesus? I mean, really, I mean, weigh it in the balance. I mean, if suffering is understood to be part of it, are you willing? You know, Jesus told us to count the cost before we jump in. What's the alternative? Turn away from him? And suffer the consequences of hell? I don't recommend that. All right, but hey, can we just tone it down? Can I follow Christ, but simply avoid the uncomfortable parts about it? And resign yourself to a lukewarm faith? And have Jesus spit you out of your mouth? No. No, please. I make this appeal of love, that you would grow your love and make it your purpose. Grow your love for Jesus, and may that love develop to be so intense that suffering for him is just, I don't even question it. Absolutely I would. Do you understand what Jesus has done for me? How can I not be willing to suffer for him? He suffered and went to the cross for me. I will gladly suffer disgrace for his name. Gladly. That's what it's all about. May God give us that kind of faith. And may it be real.